but that this works not just with artifacts or tools, but that it also works with various professions that we undertake. And so, for example, a doctor practices the art of medicine. And the goal, the end, is something which is already in a way designed into the very art of medicine, namely that medicine is designed to produce health, to reduce pain, to try to bring comfort and to restore bodily equilibrium. But the particular techniques that are involved in the practice of medicine are various. And think of all the education and all the training that goes into the training of a physician, so that this particular art, this particular skill, is designed for an end, and you can see the proper use of all of those particular techniques. So too navigation, when we're trying to find our to chart our course in the sea or to chart our course in the air, the skills of navigation have a certain function, and there's a proper function to a navigator, and if that navigator is doing it well, we'll come home to home base. An architect has a certain proper function, building suitable structures that are sturdy and serve the purpose for which they're designed. He goes on and considers not just a human arts and skills, he considers animals and animal life. And he takes note of the fact that certain types of animals have certain functions they're very good at. It might be that squirrels, in the way in which they organize themselves, that beavers, in the way in which they live, that rabbits, and so on and so forth. He's a biologist, remember. And Aristotle, in considering biology, takes note of the fact that unlike the tools and unlike the human professions, these various types of animals have certain activities which are distinctive of them, typical of them, and are built into their very natures. They aren't designed in by some human agency. And Aristotle, of course, who did not know the notion of creation, doesn't particularly advert to a creator God in the way that I might want to do, but rather Aristotle, who's simply thinking of these species as existing from time immemorial, takes note of the fact that their own anatomical structure and all their inner drives are designed to let them do some kind of function and do it well. Then he asks the question, Book 1, Chapter 7, isn't it likely to be the case that the human being too, whether male or female, whether Greek or whether Scythian or whether Egyptian, whatever the kind of human being, isn't it likely to be the case that we too as human beings have a specific part of us, a specific structure, a particular set of activities which is typical of us, which is our distinctive feature, and which, if we do it well, will bring about real excellence, real flourishing. Here, as we've seen constantly, he is a biologist, and so his mindfulness is that the way in which the form is organized is that it's suitably arranged so as to make this function possible, but that with human beings, we have to practice at it. We have to develop it. We don't come fully developed in a way that animals, merely by their instincts, come to development without having to do a lot of practice. We have to use the particular skills and abilities we have. And in particular, the name of that skill and ability and basic power, the name of it is rationality. He thinks of rationality as that distinctive feature of us, all the kinds of knowing that we do and all the kinds of choosing that we do as the function that is proper or distinctive or specific to human nature. Now, when I say rationality, I mean it very definitely in an inclusive sense. One can think about rationality, for instance, in terms of head learning. One can think of it theoretically as matters of what it is that we know in terms of getting definitions, articulating sciences, making good theoretical studies of. But there's also a practical intelligence, the plumbing, the carpentry, the nursing of children and the rearing of children and the training of them in good manners. They're the kind of things we do when we're involved in hobbies and involved in the activities we like, dancing and singing. All of these things he regards as suitable uses of human intelligence. They're a part of our proper function or our distinctive makeup, and yet they have to be developed. So, too, when we're talking about choosing, we mean the whole range of things, all the various things that we desire and are spontaneously attracted to. We mean the things that are in us as passions and emotions, when we're feeling fear, when we're feeling bold, when we're feeling various kinds of desires. And there is, definitively the matters of choosing things, the practicing of making selections among the things to which we're attracted or from which we're repelled. When Aristotle thinks of human rationality as being our proper function, he's aiming at something very inclusive, very expansive. All of our thinking and knowing, all of our desiring and choosing, and he's saying that is typical of us and typical of us all. Granted,